Just like I'm very eager to talk to my next guest, we're talking college basketball. We're joined right now by the head coach of the University of Cincinnati. He is a two-time Conference Coach of the Year. He led the Bearcats to seven straight NCAA tournament appearances. Cincinnati is 2-0. They're number 12 in the AP poll. They're number 13 in the coaches poll. And they're hosting Coppin State tomorrow night. Mick Cronin is my guest. Mick, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
Always good to be on, Romy. How you been, buddy?
Doing great, Coach. Everything's good here, and it's great to hear your voice, Mick, and have you back. Listen, before we talk basketball, you and I do both share a love of horse racing. Going back to your days at River Downs, you worked the parking lot there, Mick, back in high school. Were you able to get out and maybe see some ponies at all during your off season?
Buddy, I miss you. I was looking for you. I spent 8 days at Del Mar. I was on the lookout for you. Had a great meet. I'm part of Slam Dunk Racing, which I know you've probably seen that partnership.
Sure.
We won in San Clemente this year with Madame Dance-a-Lot, grade two, and we got beat a nose in the Del Mar Oaks with Beau Recall. So it was a great meet. 8 days at Del Mar is heaven, boy. It's tough going home from there.
I got to tell you, Mick, I'm so proud of you. I wish I'd known that. I wish I'd known you were there that long. You know, I went to the Breeders' Cup and I had to bust out of there for some reason, a personal reason. But the fact that you ran in those races, we ran once in the San Clemente. We came in second. That's a beautiful race to win. And the fact that you were in the Del Mar Oaks, Mick, I mean, you got to lay this out for me really quickly. You've coached at the highest levels, but what's it like to see your horses running in the biggest races at the highest levels?
Oh, I can't tell you how much fun it was. And to be honest with you, my daughter's 11, and both our top fillies ran in the QE2 challenge at Keeneland October 14th. So to have her there in the paddock, she looked at me and she goes, "Dad, I've never been this nervous." It was great. So we got a third. We got a third in the QE2 in the grade one. So, but that, you know, to be able to experience it with my daughter and something we can bond over, and obviously any one day in Del Mar is heaven. But to have horses running there and in big time races and get a chance to go out, I like going out in the mornings and seeing the horses and just being around it. There's just so many good people, as you know, that put a lot of time into that sport on the backside.
Brother, preach. I know exactly what you're talking about. I wish I could explain to everybody listening exactly what you're talking about, but that's some of the best of the best. Del Mar is so beautiful, and the animals are so beautiful, and if you've got some fillies that are running at that level, that's about as good as it gets, and it's hard to get to that. Mick, I could talk to you about horse racing for another hour, but let me talk to you about your team really quickly. In the season opener against Savannah State, Gary Clark scored his 1,000th career point. You have described him, quote, as one of the greatest kids that you'll ever coach. Guys like Gary Clark, you can't help but root for them. What is it about him that makes him so special?
You know, some people, Jimmy, you meet them, they just have an aura around them. You know, Gary didn't have the easiest of lives growing up, single mom. He's the head of the house to younger brother, younger sister, and he's just got a maturity beyond his years, and he's just a special person. You know, in coaching with young people, they struggle at times to pay attention. They struggle at times to focus. You know, doctors tell me this. I don't know. I'm just a ball coach. You know, the frontal lobe doesn't develop, and people don't understand and think like an adult till they're 24 and get the consequences of their actions. And then you meet a guy like Gary Clark, and from the time I met him, you just look in his eyes and you realize that this guy's different than everybody else. He listens to everything you say. He's such a good person. He has his respect for other people. The guy goes to I find out that he's at birthday parties. Like of our fans, they send him, you know, nowadays with social media, I got a fan comes up to me and says, "Hey, Gary Clark came to my son's birthday party."
Wow.
I mean, it's just not normal.
No.
He's just a special guy. And guys like that, as you know, they elevate your program just because they're how good a person they are. Now, game time now, he's a killer. He can beat you. He can score. He can beat you with a block shot. He can beat you on defense as well. He was defensive player of the year in our conference last year.
You know, I wonder about that, though, Mick, because you've always said you got to have a bit of a nasty streak when you go on the court to be great. Does he have that, or maybe does it destroy that image that you have to be mean and nasty and dirty to be good?
Yeah, I think it destroys it a little bit. You know, I wish he was a little bit more selfish with his individual offense. He's such a team guy. But, boy, he's you want him in the trenches if you're in a war. So it does dispel it a little bit. I think, you know, the longer you go in sports, you're realizing some of the toughest guys are also great, great, great people in any sport. But I know this. He's been at Cincinnati for – this is his fourth year, and the coaches in our league can't wait for him to leave because they're sick of having to play against him. He's that kind of guy.
That's the kind of guy you want. Cincinnati head coach Mick Cronin, my guest. You know, Mick, you won 30 games last year, and coming to this season, there's a ton of buzz about the team and the program. The fact that we're talking about you coming off a 30-win season and all this buzz is pretty remarkable when you look back at how it all started. There's this story that back when you were at Murray State, you played Cincinnati when they had an interim coach after Bob Huggins, you nearly beat them, and the story goes that you told an assistant, quote, "I feel sorry for the poor guy who coaches them next year. They have five seniors. They've got no recruits. Everybody's mad. They'll never hire me because I work for Huggs." Except, Mick, they did hire you. What do you remember about that first season?
I tell you, Jim, it was unreal. I mean, that I really did say that. I said, "Feel sorry for the poor SOB that gets this job."
Right.
And, you know, and then all of a sudden it's me. And, you know, I just figured it's my alma mater, it's home. And if somebody else gets the job and makes it happen, then I could never have a chance again to go home and coach at my alma mater. So it's been the experience of a lifetime. I can't tell you how hard it was. I mean, there's just not enough adjectives to describe it. And fortunately, the leadership of the school, they were patient, and they let me build the program the way I wanted to, because when you want to be at a place for a while, you got to build it the right way, and you don't, because if you quick fix a home, it's going to fall apart. You got to build something the right way so it's going to last. And so it took us a little time. Our fourth year, we got to the NIT, and then since then, we've been to seven straight tournaments, like you mentioned. But we did have to have some patience. And, you know, in the sporting world, that's not real popular. The word patience and fans doesn't coincide at all.
Well, even with schools now and school presidents, there just is no patience anymore. So when you talk about how hard it was, and there aren't even adjectives to describe how hard it was and how challenging it was, did you always know that if they were patient that it was going to happen? Or maybe were there times where you thought maybe it's just not meant to be?
Well, early on, Romy, we had some horrible luck. I mean, you know, nowadays the NCAA is because they want to be popular all of a sudden. They didn't used to care about that. So the NCAA, so they just made a kid from NC State eligible because they were getting killed in the media. They reevaluated their decision. I mean, that never happened, and it's happening more and more. And it's a good thing, good for Braxton Beverly. But back when we started, we lost the number one junior college player in the country. They ruled he couldn't play because he played in a Nicaraguan summer league, Hernal Hall. Then we lost our other big recruit that we had signed when we got the job because they said he played on a team in Poland where other guys got paid, but he didn't. So we lost, and then the next year we had a McDonald's All-American, tore his Achilles. The following year, our point guard, Kashmir Wright, before he ever played a game, tore his ACL. So you start to wonder, when it keeps piling up, you know, because eventually you're going to have to field a good team. And we kept losing players. But fortunately, that we were able to get back in 2011 a team of juniors and seniors. We had a great team that year. We lost the eventual national champs in the NCAA tournament. Kemba Walker knocked us out. But like you said, you know, patience is tough to find from school presidents and fan bases. So fortunately, we were able to get through that and all those injuries. But, yeah, there definitely, I'd be lying if I didn't say that you wonder, is this thing ever going to be able to catch enough breaks where we can turn it?
Because there were so many breaks, bad breaks. Mick Cronin, my guest. Mick, one last thought. The American Conference has had some tough programs in the past few years, and now you add Wichita State. What does the arrival of Greg Marshall and the Shockers mean for the conference?
Credibility. You know, when you, they're a top 10 team. I think they're maybe a top 5 team. You know, I think it's too early to say anything with conviction, but when you have a team that won 30 something games, they have their top 9 players back. They have a legitimate longtime NBA pro in Landry Shamet at the point. They have another NBA, future NBA player, Marcus McDuffie, who's still getting healthy for them. I mean, they're as good as anybody. Now, some of the, you know, as you know, Romy, some of these elite teams are all freshmen. And Wichita State is not. They're not only are they talented, obviously they're tremendously well coached, but they have some veteran guys, and they've been through some wars together. So I think they're as good as anybody. They're a contender to win a national championship. So hopefully we are as well. And it helps your conference. It helps your credibility with the NCAA selection committee, because that's really been our big problem here lately, Jim, is just getting some respect from the committee to get a decent seed and not have to. I love coming out west, but I want to go to Del Mar. I don't want to have to go to Sacramento and Spokane three of the last 4 years.
I feel you, Coach. Cincinnati's number 12 in the AP poll right now. They're number 13 in the coaches' poll, so they are getting some respect. They're 2-0. Mick, the team looks great. It is early, but the team looks great. I know your stable's doing great, and it's always good to have you in the jungle. Mick, thank you very much. Good luck with everything.
Always a pleasure, Romy. Hope we can catch up throughout the year.
Yeah, you got it, Coach. I'll look for you. Mick Cronin, my guest. Man, Mick, I wish I had known that you were at Del Mar for 8 days. That's my bad. That's on me, not you. Boy, I'm definitely envious. He's got a couple of really nice fillies, and those are the kind of races you want to run in. If you're Mick Cronin and you can make it out here for 8 days and see your fillies running in graded stakes, a grade one, a grade two, that is the best. Fans of horse racing know what I'm talking about, and they know his ponies.